Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now I'm joined in the studio by independent candidate for President of Ireland, Catherine Connolly, TD, and you're very welcome. Good morning to you. Now listen, we'll start with this report in the journal.ie today.
Yes.
Is it true that you attempted to hire someone who was convicted by the Special Criminal Court of gun crimes and that you wanted that person to fulfil a role in the Oireachtas?
Absolutely. That woman, actually. And it's unfortunate that her name is in the press and that she's been hauled through this. She served her time in prison and she was recommended to me. She was absolutely perfect for the job and I took her on. And it was for 3 days. And over the period of time, from day one, she filled out an application form, explained everything. And just the clearance process took some time. And in the end, she left of her own volition. She was there for almost 6 months, less than 6 months.
You explained she was recommended to you.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, there's an ongoing committee that visit prisons and do work with Republican prisoners and other prisoners. And part of that committee was Claire Daly, Eamon O'Queeve, Maureen O'Sullivan, Thomas Pringle. And when this woman was recommended to me, she had a gold standard in Irish and she had done her time in prison. She'd been a model prisoner and she was in Limerick and then moved to the Dockers prison in Dublin. And so I checked out, you know, was there anything to be worried about or what were her credentials?
And who recommended her to you?
A number of people, but Eamon O'Queeve in particular. And I've spoken with him and I've asked him, can I use his name? He said, absolutely.
So he came to you and
said... No, he didn't come to me. Okay. No, I went to him to check out. Do you know...
So someone else recommended?
That's correct.
Are you prepared to say who
I am, absolutely. Claire Daly mentioned it. She was one of the group, along with Maureen O'Sullivan, Eamon O'Queeve and Thomas Pringle, who visit prisoners and do tremendous work with prisoners. And
so then when you got the recommendation, I'm sure you went back then to look at this person and to look at their record and what they had been convicted of.
Absolutely.
And I have the report from RTE in 2014 here, and they talk about this person being found guilty of offences by the Special Criminal Court after a trial, and then the detail of the offences. Gardaí were in receipt of confidential information that a stolen vehicle would be used as part of an operation by dissident Republicans for a theft at a property in County Offaly. The court heard that a search of the vehicle revealed two handguns and a stun gun, along with ammunition, cable ties, black pillowcases, canisters of petrol, wigs and disguises. So you read that.
Absolutely.
And you still thought that this person was appropriate to work in Leinster House.
Well, you know, I abhor violence, and this person served her time in prison and she came out earlier than her term. I also abhor hypocrisy. And so yesterday on your show, I think you had a feature on how difficult it is for prisoners to get jobs.
We did.
Yeah. And I actually listened back to that as it happened. Mm-hmm. And it was a very good feature on how difficult it is. And here was this person who had done her time, realised she had done something wrong, was an absolute model prisoner, has started her PhD in the prisons and facilities were made for her.
Yeah.
And she was looking to go back into the workforce. She was looking to fill and complete her PhD. And so I gave her an opportunity over a number of months to do that.
And that is one side of it. But the other side of it, and this is according to the report in the journal.ie, is that you were told by the Gardaí that this person would not pass clearance to work in Leinster House. Is that correct?
I've had no contact with the Gardaí in relation to this matter. Absolutely none. This woman filled out her application form from day one, declared everything. And then there's a process. And that process went on for quite some time. It's not unusual. I've spoken to other people. And sometimes the process goes on for a year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. In this case, it went on. And I checked. I have emails that asked, where's the process at? It's gone on for a very long time.
This is the vetting process, is it?
That's the vetting process, yeah.
And what was the outcome of the vetting process?
This is what I'm trying to explain. There was no outcome. The process just went on and on. And in the end, the person left. And my contact was simply with the superintendent or whoever the relevant person was.
Is that the captain of the guard in the Oireachtas?
It was the chief superintendent, I understand.
And what did they say to you?
Very little, because the process was taking place. I had no control over the process, no influence over the process. My only intervention was to say, when is the process going to be completed? Because it's very inconvenient. And in the end, the person left.
So you reject that assertion that this person didn't pass the vetting process, or that you were given advice that this person shouldn't work in Leinster House, and that you tried to appeal that then?
Absolutely. I had no contact with the Gardaí in relation to this. Obviously, there's an internal process for all staff, mm-hmm. and that takes its course.
Did anyone in a position of authority in relation to security say to you it is not appropriate to have this person in Leinster House?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'll repeat again, the application went in, it went through its process. I was concerned it was taking so long because it was inconvenient, because you can't get a pass to. I had to meet the person every day, or somebody had to meet her to get her in mm-hmm. and get a daily pass. But we couldn't get the other pass. And that's as it should be. Mm-hmm. A process has to take place, but it took inordinately long. And it didn't suit the person in the end, and they left and they went back, finished their PhD and went on to better things, which is a very good example of rehabilitation uh-huh. and of the prison service working in this case and giving somebody a second chance. And now that person has been hauled into publicity because of my candidacy as president. It really is a shocking indictment.
Well, Micheál Martin was asked about this yeah. morning, and I'm sure you saw what he said.
I didn't actually.
I'll tell you now. He said it's very serious that you sought to hire a former Éireann member, and it says in the court report that this person was a prominent member of the Socialist Republican group Éireann, sentenced to 6 years in jail by the Special Criminal Court, a member of an organisation that did everything to undermine the Irish peace process. What do you say to that?
I'll repeat, I abhor violence, all violence. I also abhor hypocrisy. And so if we have a prison system to protect the public on the one hand, and also to rehabilitate and to allow a prisoner back into society, then we must look at that. And this was a person who had really done everything, realised what they had done was utterly wrong, rehabilitated themselves with the help of the services in the prison, carried out an MA, a PhD, started in prison, since completed, and has gone on to greater things. And, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm actually proud that this person has gone on to greater mm-hmm. things. I absolutely regret that she's been dragged into this in such a public mm-hmm. way. And it really, really lays bare our hypocrisy. If we believe in rehabilitation, if we believe in the work that Eamon O'Queeve, Maureen O'Sullivan, Thomas Pringle do on their committees, yeah, going into prisoners.
But like I said to you, that is one side of it. That is one side, the rehabilitation and what you were trying to do. But to have somebody working in the Irish Parliament who was found in possession of guns, was found guilty of this crime by the Special Criminal Court, and who doesn't support, or certainly didn't at this time, support the Irish peace process, asks questions of your judgment.
No, quite the contrary. I took a careful time to reflect on this. I discussed this with TDs who were part of a committee that visited Republican prisoners. I believe in rehabilitation. I believe in giving someone a chance in life. My whole life, public life, has been devoted to raising my voice for those that didn't have a chance and those that committed crimes mm-hmm. and then a chance for rehabilitation.
But do you support Éireann?
I don't support any group that perpetuates mm-hmm. violence. I abhor it as a mother and as a female TD and as a candidate in the presidential election. But we can't have it everywhere, Claire. We can't send someone to prison and they're a model prisoner. They do everything. They realise that what they've done is wrong. They change their life and they move in a new direction. What message would we be sending out if we don't believe that?
Did this person work for you for any period of time?
During that period, that person was with me.
Yeah. For the 6 month period,
which was a little less than 6 months.
In Leinster House.
In Leinster House, in my office.
Mm-hmm. And are you concerned about her status, her membership of this organisation, that she was a dissident Republican
absolutely,
at this time?
Absolutely. But the Special Criminal Court found her guilty mm-hmm. and she spent her time in prison. And we're repeating at this stage, you know, I'm particularly proud that I represent a society that gives people a second chance, a society that shows care and compassion. It's really important. We can't have it every way.
And just to be clear, do you support the Special Criminal Court?
I voted against the Special Criminal Court in my lifetime as a politician. And there was a review, and I support the minority report. I've read both of them. Mm-hmm. But that's immaterial. I respect whatever court is there. Yeah. We comply with the rule of law and the courts that are there. And
so you accept that this person was convicted by a court that you don't support?
Absolutely. That's irrelevant, really. That's the court. There are many things I mightn't support, but that's the rule of law. And I'm a Democrat to my fingertips. Mm-hmm. And so convicted, served time, was let out early for good behaviour, and was a model prisoner. I mean, how many times will I repeat?
But you do think the court that convicted her and has convicted terrorists in the past, I mean, you say that that court should be abolished.
Absolutely. I'm not alone in that. All human rights experts say that as well. And we've had a limited debate every year before we rubber stamped that court. And two reports, a minority and a majority report, were published. We still haven't acted on those.
OK, but see, all of this begs the question of what do we get with you if you're elected president? And you understand why people are asking those questions, particularly today.
I have travelled the country since the end of July, and I can tell you how many engagements I've had with people on the ground, in shopping centres, in open forums. I have had four open forums, all questions allowed, chaired by independent chairs. Mm-hmm. Carrick-on-Shannon, Sligo, Dundalk, Drogheda. I have stood before the press repeatedly in the ploughing championships, outside the Dáil, outside the Custom House. And people know me as somebody that's absolutely honest, that has a work ethic second to none, that is a strong, independent mind and makes her mind up after reading and after reflection. I'm not given to quick comments or quick judgments.
Are you concerned today that people might see that you aligned yourself with someone who doesn't support the Good Friday Agreement?
Absolutely not. I think people see me for what I am, and they've seen my record in the Dáil since 2016 and prior to that from June 1999 as a city councillor onwards. They know exactly what I stand for and where I am and what I represent. And I represent, really, in as inclusive manner as I can, the people of Ireland and the values that we hold dear. And one of the values that we hold dear is rehabilitation. That is mm-hmm. one of the primary purposes of the prison system. Okay. It's to protect society and then to rehabilitate the prisoner.
Okay. Well, people will want to know more about what you represent, particularly in light of this. I mean, where would you place yourself on the political spectrum? Are you of the radical left?
You see, I've been allergic to, labels all my life. Labels are used to put someone into a box, to other them, to put them out there and say, make it easier not to agree with them. I would look on myself that somebody that has stood up for social justice all my life, it was embedded into me in a family of 14. We never used those words, Claire. We mm-hmm. never use words like politics or social justice or equality. It was just from the ground up with 14 children, 7 girls and 7 boys. I lived in a working class area. I never used those terms. Those terms have been used in relation to me. I don't like fitting somebody into a box. But what I grew up with was that equality was absolutely essential. I also grew up with a healthy scepticism of hypocrisy.
Uh-huh. You mentioned Claire Daly earlier in relation to who recommended this person to you. Can you describe to us your relationship with Claire Daly and Mick Wallace?
I'm not sure the relevance of that. I mean, will I describe my relationship?
Well, you've had to answer plenty of questions in relation to the visit
to
Syria.
I'll answer any questions. I met Claire Daly and Mick Wallace on my first term in the Dáil, 2016. And I'm on record for saying Claire Daly was a superb negotiator. We had a technical group. We were part of a technical group. In that group was Thomas Pringle, Tommy Bruin, and Maureen O'Sullivan. And that group worked very well. We met literally for 5 minutes a week to allocate speaking time. Mm-hmm. And as a result of Claire's negotiating skills, I actually got membership of the public accounts and I got a chairperson of the Irish committee due to her negotiating
skills.
She
was a supporter of yours and who you were politically aligned with.
It's a technical group. I'm in a technical group again now for 8. And there were 8 in my technical group. Roderick O'Gorman, leader of the Green Party, Charles Ward from Donegal, Brian Stanley. You form a technical group when you're an independent. Mm-hmm. So you align on some things, but the purpose of the technical group is to give you speaking time,
and
to give
Claire
you
Daly,
membership of committees.
Was she one of the people who encouraged you to run for presidency?
No. The people that encouraged me to go for presidency, which I didn't deal with really very well at the time, because the messages were coming in quite strongly and numerously asking me to stand over about a year and a half. It could have been 2 years. Mm-hmm. And finally I sat down. All of those messages came from people around Ireland who saw my role in the Dáil, saw my role as Leascaigh Comhairle, looked at my record and said they saw in me the characteristics that they would like in a presidency.
But you were reluctant at first, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. Once I made the decision, I never looked back. Mm-hmm. But it took me some time to make that decision. I thought, the privilege of being president, and once I made it, that was it.
Will you be comfortable with the trappings of the Áras, given what you've said about your background and your stance?
I think anyone that gets comfortable with power needs to reflect. I think we all need to reflect when we get comfortable with power. And so I will absolutely rise to the role of president. I will rise to that with integrity, honesty and courage, because it represents the best of Irish people. And people have placed their trust in me, and I will not let them down. We have approximately 8,000 volunteers who have signed up. I was in Blanchardstown last night. We had a packed public meeting. Any amount of questions, any amount of engagement on a range of topics, from traffic congestion to housing to the lack of facilities for the youth.
None of those things you'll be able to do anything about, of course, when you're president.
Well, actually, of course, there's a big difference between government and the president. But there are three parts of the Oireachtas: the presidency, the Dáil and the Seanad. And the president takes precedent over everyone else in Ireland. So that's the value and that's the importance of the president, set out in the constitution, takes precedence over everybody else. Iveraidh, Article 12.8 sets out that I, as president, will take a solemn and public vow to serve the welfare of the people of Ireland. Now, that is a very solemn public vow, and look what that entails: serving the people of Ireland.
I mean, that might tell us that you will go further than Michael D. Higgins did at times, when he butted up against the political. Some people said, well, did he put over his foot over the line there? Are you prepared to go the whole way over the line? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure what that question means in a sense, but I'll try and answer it as best I can.
Well, it's an apolitical office, isn't it?
Michael D. has been a very courageous president. He has spoken out and given hope to the people of Ireland of all ages when hope is really needed in our country. He has stood up and spoken out. He has spoken out recently on the flotilla.
But what will you do?
Yeah, what will I do? I will do my best to continue to serve as I've served as a public servant, albeit as President of Ireland. I will take courage in my hand and speak when necessary. There are regular meetings with the Taoiseach where the President must be kept informed. That will be an interesting meeting, because that works both ways, where I share the concerns that I'm receiving about government policy within that model, within that rule.
Okay. Can I ask you about your comments about Germany, and you claimed Germany's tooling up in the way that it did at the time of the Third Reich in the 1930s. And that was rejected by the German ambassador to Ireland, David Gill, who defended the right of all countries to defend themselves in light of what's happening, particularly in Eastern Europe. Do you stand over those remarks?
You see, the remarks that I made were in relation to my concerns about the 30s and the parallels between the 30s and now. And it was a very general comment expressing my concerns about the growing militarization of all countries. And Germany was just one example, because they've been very specific with the amount of money that they're going to increase.
They would say they have to be. They have to be. I mean, we see even the Danish Prime Minister this morning: Russia is engaged in a hybrid war against Europe, she says, using sabotage, disinformation and airspace incursions. Now, what do you expect those countries to do? Sit there and wait for it to happen?
No, that doesn't follow at all from what I've said. I've said, and I've put my comments in context, which are about my concerns about the parallels between the 30s and now. And that was shared with students in UCD who were absolutely worried and upset about the way the world is going, about genocide in Palestine, about 165 million approximately people displaced in the world, about the ongoing battle in Sudan and what's happening there. And so I believe that as a neutral country, we should be using our voice for peace, calling out Russia, absolutely, but equally calling out Israel and America, and that's not happening. And so if our credibility is at stake as a neutral country, if we want credibility and we want to use what we've built up, our peacekeepers going abroad since 1958, an unbroken record of peacekeeping, we have such credibility for such a tiny country, we should not lose it, we should build on it.
Catherine Connolly, thank you for coming in. Catherine Connolly, who's the independent candidate for the presidency. We will take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.